The Holy Bible teaches that Jesus Christ paid our sin debt, but he won't pay our credit card debt, but he can help us to pay that debt. And that's our topic for part three of God, Satan, Money, and You. Welcome back. We are in the early stages of a seven-part series called God, Satan, Money, and You. This is part three, and it's called The Debt Disaster. And we're going to be dealing with a big issue and how the devil weaves into a person's life when they have too much debt. And we've got a text here that I'd like to start with, which is in the book of Romans, chapter 13, verse 8. And I think, actually, before I read that, I'll introduce my colleagues here. We have Paul Selko, who's the administrative director for Whitehorse Media.
Hey, Steve, it's good to be here.
Yes, it's always good to work with you. And then Rob Knott, who is my associate speaker for Whitehorse Media, and he's also in charge of running our Bible school, our international Bible school.
Mm-hmm. I'm also glad to be here, Steve.
Yes, all of us are. So here's a Bible text that we all need to think about. In Romans chapter 13, verse 8, and this will be sort of the guide for everything we're going to talk about. Paul wrote, "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loves another has fulfilled the law." And gentlemen, how I wish and how you wish, how so many of us wish, that America as a nation was following this Bible verse. But we're not, are we?
Unfortunately, no. We're not. I have some statistics that I'm going to share. Our credit card debt in America right now is almost $1 trillion.
Yipes.
And our total consumer debt is almost $17 trillion. Now, that's not the national debt I'm talking about. I'm talking about consumer debt. That's individuals like you and I.
Mm-hmm.
Through credit card, auto loan, student loan, and mortgages is up to $17 trillion. And our U.S. national debt, I mean, we don't even like to talk about that, but that's approaching $32 trillion. We throw these numbers around, and we don't even understand how big a trillion is, do we? How big is $1 trillion? Yeah. Just to put that in perspective, if we were to pay off our national debt today, it would require every citizen of America, every man, woman, and child, almost $100,000 each to pay that off. Now, just to put that again into perspective, the average retirement account, according to Fidelity, in America is about $103,000. So basically, it's all the wealth combined in America to pay this off. So yes, America has a debt crisis. Not just America, it's the whole world is in this debt crisis.
Paul, I was just wanting to, you know, I was looking up some statistics too, trying to get a handle on this number, $31 trillion. And that number is, if every graduating senior in the United States of America, if we paid for them to have a four-year degree.
High school or college?
They graduate from high school,
okay. That
means that we would pay their four-year degree at a college for 73 years.
Wow. Yeah.
Every person in the United States of America would be able to go to college for 4 years. We could do that for 73 years for every person who went through high school and graduated. So that gives you a little idea of how big this number is.
So what does the Bible have to say about debt? We're curious about studying what counsel can we get from the Word of God about debt? What do we do if we have debt? And how do we avoid staying out of debt?
Yeah, good question.
Well,
you've got the stats, Paul.
What
is the word of the Lord?
Actually, we were talking about this little book, Counsels on Stewardship, and I want to, before I get into the scripture, I want to read this quote because it's very relevant. She says, "Many, very many have not so educated themselves that they can keep their expenditures within the limit of their income. They do not learn to adapt themselves to circumstances, and they borrow again and again and become overwhelmed in debt, and consequently, they become discouraged and disheartened." You know, I think Satan wants us to be in debt. He wants us to be discouraged and disheartened. And I think this is why the Bible gives us these specific principles how to avoid this. Proverbs 22:7 is a text. Yeah. And, Rob, I think you know this one.
Do you
want to read it?
Sure. It says, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender.
So when you are in debt, you're a slave, aren't you?
Ball and chain.
You're ball and chain. That debt parasitizes your future income and reduces your future spending power, purchasing power, saving power, and giving power, too,
yeah,
doesn't
and
it?
Just up, you know, think about it. We think about America, and we're supposed to be the land of the free and the home of the brave. And yet, if our government has almost $32 trillion in debt, I mean, we are in trouble. Yeah. And it's not just the government, it's the average American. And like you mentioned, this is a worldwide problem. And I think one of the reasons why it's a problem is because we use credit cards, at least as far as credit card debt. We have easy money right in our pockets, and we can just swipe the card and we can buy this and buy that. And it seems to me it's a little bit like the old saying, eat and drink today for tomorrow we die.
I think of
and
that
so,
too.
So in America, it's like spend today because tomorrow we die. Mm. But I think, well, what happens if tomorrow we don't die? Or the next day, or the next day, or we're here for a while, then we're going to wake up one day and we're going to find ourselves in terrible debt, and it's going to be just like a ball and chain around our legs and our necks.
Totally. And you know, Steve, I'm thinking this great nation that you're talking about, the United States, we used to be the greatest creditor nation. 1985 was the apex where we became the greatest debtor nation. And that almost makes me think, was that the time when credit cards started to become a thing? I'm not sure, but we moved from being the biggest creditor nation to now we're biggest debtor.
At some point, there was a shift in our society where people had to have everything right now before they had the money to pay for it.
Yeah,
I talk to people all the time who are in credit card debt, and I know it's taxing physically, it's taxing emotionally, and when their debt gets bad enough, it can put a strain on their marriage too. How many people drive off the lot with a big smile on their face with their $55,000 SUV, and they wake up the next morning and realize they have to pay for that.
Got to pay for it. Yeah. Speaking of government debt, in 1789, Thomas Jefferson proposed an amendment to the Constitution, and he said, "I mean an additional article taking from the federal government the power of borrowing." So, I mean, wow, can you imagine that? If that would have passed and gone through, that the government couldn't borrow.
World.
Right. And here's John Adams. He said, there are two ways to conquer and enslave a nation. One is by the sword and the other is by debt. And still, even in our coins, say, in God we trust, I was listening to a video recently where the man said we should change that to in debt we trust. Because we are drowning in debt.
Well, do you guys remember, Paul, Steve, do you remember talking to your grandparents, your parents, and they would say, I saved up for that.
Yeah.
I saved my money to buy that.
Yeah.
You don't see that hardly anymore. People, they get it now, enjoy it. You know, Ronald Reagan, he had something to say about this debt issue. He says, we don't have $1 trillion debt because we haven't taxed enough. We have $1 trillion debt because we spend too much. Mm-hmm. And really, that's the issue. We have the idea of the media that just pumps the advertisement through the commercials, and I need that new truck or that new house or those new clothes, and all of a sudden I've bypassed my spending where I should have kept it, into now I'm beyond my means, and now the credit card comes out and now we're in debt.
Yeah, now we can even just take our smartphones. We can go to the TV if they have a little code comes up, you know, the QR code, and just scan it, and there we go.
Boy.
You just buy it like that, as quick as possible. So,
and there's no pain in that.
Yeah.
If I pulled out my wallet
right
and had to put $200 down, there's a little pain.
If you paid cash, it'd feel different.
There's a little pain.
We can't really control what the government is doing with their spending, right? You and I don't have a whole lot of control over that, but we can control how we behave. We can control our own behavior.
That's right. And I wonder if the fact that the government has such a big debt is setting an example to the public that they did it, you know, they're doing it,
we can do it.
It's just a vicious spiral. Now, Paul, I know that in the last month or so, couple months, you have been involved in a pretty intense training. So tell us about that, to help people get out of debt.
Well, I'm a trained financial coach. And what does that mean? I have the training to work with people one-on-one or with one couple at a time everybody's situation is different, right? So what I would do is go in and start asking questions and find out, first learn their financial situation, okay, and then give them the tools to succeed to correct the problem. I don't fix the problem for them, but I put them on the right path.
Now, who are you getting this training from?
From Dave Ramsey. Yeah, okay. Dave Ramsey had a training course that's called Financial Coach Master Training. So.
Yeah, and I remember, it's just kind of a personal story. I remember when you were first considering taking this training, and the cost was over $2,000, and we were thinking about that, and I think this was in January, and you were looking back into December and remembering that they had a discount. If you buy the course in December, then it was a lot less, somewhere around $800.
$845.
Right, so we were hoping in January that the man that was selling it in December would be merciful, and we had a prayer, and I remember you coming to me, and I said, did you get the course at the discount? And you said, I did.
Yeah, I did.
He was merciful on that, and that saved quite a bit of money.
It did, and it's been kind of a burden of mine to help people. It's a ministry. When people have this debt, it just weighs on. We talked about being a slave already to debt, but it just weighs on you, and it's hard on people. I know this. When I was younger, my wife and I, we were in debt. We'd pay off our car, and guess what? We'd trade it out and buy another car. We'd stay in this vicious cycle of never-ending debt till one day we woke up and said, that's it. Enough is enough.
We're done.
We're done with that. We're going to change our behavior. We're going to change the way we live. So, and you can do it. We did it.
Yeah. Paul, I wanted to bring up a couple texts, and maybe you, through your training, you can help us. It's from Proverbs chapter 6, and it has to deal with being a surety for a friend.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I'm just going to pick it up, chapter 6 of Proverbs, verse 1. It says, my son, if you become surety for your friend, if you have shaken hands and pledge for a stranger, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. So do this, my son, to deliver yourself. For you have come into the hand of your friend. Go and humble yourself. Plead with your friend. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. And then what's interesting, it's talking about don't be surety for a friend. And then verse 6.
What does that mean, though? Surety for a friend.
It means to me that if you want something and your credit isn't good enough, you would have me sign, or they would have me sign to cover for you.
I see. So then you're responsible for my debt if I don't pay it.
Correct.
So when the Bible says don't be surety for your friend, it means your friend's debt.
Yeah. Then I was going to say, Steve, verse 6, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. It's almost this person who, you know, is wanting someone to be surety for them. Really, we need to learn from the ant that we wouldn't have to borrow if we're doing things correctly. It's when we aren't in balance, in my mind, when we spend beyond our means, when I have so much out there that I don't have enough now to pay for this, and so would you please sign for me?
I see.
I like that verse, Rob, and there's another one similar to it. It's in Proverbs 22, verse 26. It says, be not one of them that strike hands, or one of them that are sureties, or again, a guarantor for debts. And basically, it says the same thing. So the counsel is to avoid debt when possible, but don't sign up for somebody else's debt either. And that's what the scripture is telling us.
There was I'm sorry I don't have the where it came from, but I was, as we were preparing for this program, I think it was Ed Reed in one of his presentations, and he said that the statistic was that about 75% of debts that a co-signer signed for, the co-signer ended up having to pay that. So only about 25% did the original person who said, would you please sign for me, actually pay the debt. And so it's kind of risky. Yeah. I don't know. Think of the relationship, Steve, between you and me as friends. If you signed for me and I didn't pay you, do you think that would strain our relationship?
Definitely.
Yeah.
That's a real thing, Rob. In my training, I heard this heartbreaking story where the grandparents co-signing for a student loan debt.
Uh-oh.
And then this young 20-year-old defaulted on the debt.
Mm.
And these elderly folks, they're on the hook. And with a student loan, that doesn't go away, not even through bankruptcy. they're on the hook, and they risk losing their home, their entire retirement to pay for it.
Yeah,
so it's these Bible principles are there for a reason.
They are. And for, since I became a Christian at the age of 20, that was 43 years ago, I've tried to follow the Bible as best as I can. We all make a lot of mistakes, of course, but I've made it a decision, a commitment in my life to really try to avoid debt. And as far as my credit card, I do use a credit card, but my practice is to pay it off every month, right when it's due. So I don't carry a balance because if you carry a balance,
then you're not paying interest.
There's no interest, and then next month you pay, you know, the minimum payment they say. And if you just pay the minimum payment, you think you're okay, but little by little by little, you're accumulating a mountain of debt, and then it's hard to get out of. And I've never had a credit card debt like that. And I remember also when I bought our property up here in Idaho, I made a real goal of mine to little by little, step by step, you know, beef up my principal payments beyond my regular payments, and to make it a goal to get out of debt. And I remember seeing that coming on the horizon and realizing that in a few months, I'm going to be totally debt-free. Our cars are paid for. We don't have credit card debt. My property will be paid for. And Paul and Rob, it was such...
Good
it
feeling?
Was such a good feeling.
I was going to ask, what did your family do the day, like, well, the day you were out of debt?
If I would have been listening to Dave Ramsey, which I've read quite a bit of his books, I've watched him on YouTube, but, and I know he has what he calls the debt screen.
Yeah.
You know, he gets people on the radio and they just yell. And I didn't really think about that at the time, but if I would have been thinking about it, I would have definitely given that debt scream. And it was just such a peaceful feeling to know that I don't have that debt. But we need to talk about how to help people get out of debt, because it's not enough just to talk about the problem and, you know, for me to share how good it feels to have that my house paid off. But especially, Paul, your training and Rob, you can chip in. You know, let's give those that are watching this some practical steps on what they can do. We can start with the credit card debt. You know, this is a very common debt, and I don't consider a home debt to be a bad debt, as long as you don't overpay for your price, and then hopefully, I mean, overpay on the property, which many people do, and then the market goes down, and then they actually end up owing more than the property's worth.
Getting underwater.
That's a difficult situation. But
keep it within your
But a home is really an investment in the future. But a credit card debt is something totally different. Yeah. So what do you tell people if they have a $10,000 or $20,000or $30,000 credit card debt?
Obviously, the best way to get out of credit card debt is don't accumulate the debt to begin with, right?
Yes.
But if someone finds themselves in that position, they've got to change the way their behavior, right? They've got to change their lifestyle, maybe. They need to cut the cable. They need to cut out some things that they don't need. And
maybe
put all available resources to paying off that credit card debt. And that starts with putting together a budget. You've got to look at where your money is going. You've got to understand where your money is going. You've got to control your money, or your money will control you. And once you understand where it's going and you understand what needs to be paid off first, you can develop this plan, and it's called a debt snowball. You pay off the smaller ones first, and then you hit the second smallest one, and you hit the third, and then you go so on and so on until it's all knocked out.
I remember doing that myself, and it gives you encouragement that this is possible.
It is possible.
So that little debt that's $400, and you knock that out, now what you were paying to that, you can apply to the next debt and compound towards that until that one's taken care of, and all of a sudden you're able to do the debt screen, so to speak.
So you just go, you go step by step. It reminds me of the ancient Chinese proverb that says the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. And so you just go step by step. So it also reminds me of a verse in Daniel where in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, Daniel, it's the Bible says that he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat when they were in Babylon, and they wanted to give them all kinds of food sacrificed to idols and unclean foods. Daniel just looked at that and said, he made a decision in his heart, I'm not going to do that. And it seems to me that that's one of the first steps a person needs to make if they do have a debt, is to purpose in their heart, I'm going to get out of this debt. And then to go step by step by step, sacrificing in areas where they need to sacrifice. and then start, like Rob, like you said, hitting that debt a little bit at a time, little bit at a time, and with God's help and prayer, and like it says in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That includes getting out of debt.
I love that Bible verse that you just quoted there. If we follow God's biblical principles, He'll take care of us, right? Here's another Bible verse that offers some hope. It's from Psalm 34:10. It says, "The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing." So if we purpose in our heart to follow the principles the Lord lines out for us in His Word, He's not going to let us go hungry, is He? I don't think so.
No, He's not going to.
That's right. And it really, it gets down to the essential fundamental principle of not spending more than you make. You know, not, you need to live within your means. Here's a quote from Warren Buffett. He said, "If you can't pay for it, don't buy it." And that man, I've read a lot of Warren Buffett, actually, and he's a fountain of practical wisdom when it comes to finances.
Yeah. I think also, too, in our modern day culture, separating wants from actual needs. Mm. You know, what do I really need to get by? I really believe that, let's say you were able to buy all these things and be in debt, or I paid everything off and I live simply, but I have the freedom because I'm not in debt, this person would have a happier feeling than those persons that have everything but have this big load of I owe.
Right.
And I think people get into that because, you know, the Bible says, by beholding we become changed. I believe it's 2 Corinthians 3:17. But the principle, by beholding we become changed, is when we're looking at media all the time and you don't have this, you won't be happy till you have that. It's easy for us to think that I'll be happy if I have this bigger car when maybe I could have just painted my car. Maybe I could have just got new tires for it. Maybe I could make it last another 2 years so I could have money for my daughter to go to college, so on and so forth. So I think, you know, our generation is much different than the generation that lived the Depression, saved everything. It was a different mindset back then.
That's right. And I think there were some scriptural examples where people did borrow, but it was based on what they needed at the moment. A couple of those examples are 2 Kings chapter 4. Do you remember the widow?
Yes.
Where Elisha came and told her, go ahead and borrow these vessels. And what was it for? To fill, because the Lord was going to provide oil, and it was to pay off her debt, right? But he provided a means for her to do that. And she had to borrow to do that. And then in 2 Kings chapter 6, there was another example where the prophet's son borrowed an axe. Remember when they were chopping down trees, they were going to build a cabin, and he lost his axe. You remember the story?
I remember the story. It was borrowed.
Yeah, it was borrowed. That's why he was upset. It was a borrowed axe.
So in both these situations, like with the widow and with the axe, they borrowed for a purpose, right? It wasn't just reckless borrowing.
Right.
And I think that's, again, that's part of the problem in America is we have so many temptations to buy so many things. We're being bombarded with ads. Mm-hmm. We have the little Alexa box in our house, and we do different things with Alexa. and it's amazing that sometimes Kristen and I will be talking about something, and then there's Alexa talking about what we're, you know, giving us a little advertisement for what we just talked about, or it'll come up on Facebook, or it'll come up on Kristen's phone. And so it's like, you know, the technology has eyes, and the big advertisers are researching and studying how to sell you something. So we're being bombarded with temptations to buy things that we really don't need.
We don't need.
And it's so easy to buy that we just get ourselves into debt. And so we really need to be developing strength and principle, which is what this series is about, is becoming financially responsible.
That's right.
Learning how to make good decisions with God's help, God's strength, because we can't do it on our own. And then if we make a mistake, to go forward to undo that mistake and to get out of debt, to pay our bills, to be responsible. So ultimately we can have more money to give, which is what we'll talk about in part 4.
Mm-hmm. And if we find ourselves in debt, God doesn't love us less if we're in debt. We don't have more love from God if we're debt free, right?
Right.
But He does want us to follow the biblical principles and live within our means for the reasons that we talked about. We go into debt, we're presuming on the future too, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah, debt is never a good thing, but sometimes people who get into debt, I would think, how do I get out of this? And so we offer, Paul, do we offer anything at White Horse Media to help people with debt?
So we're going to put together a one-page PDF, and we can find that, and we'll show the link on the screen in a little while here. But it's just a one-page kind of guidance, what people can follow these six steps, how they can get themselves out of debt.
And that's going to be as a result of your training. You're going to put that together.
That's right.
From your Dave Ramsey
Wonderful.
Training.
That's right. And it's called the baby steps to getting out of debt.
And yeah. And I think we're going to call the document, Help Lord, I'm in debt. Help Lord, I'm in debt, and how do I get out of debt? Right. And we want to make this PDF available for free. Doesn't cost anything. And so people can get it from our ministry, and then they can go through the steps and they can develop a plan and a strategy to relieve themselves of the burden of owing things that just can discourage them.
I'm sure our nation was a much happier nation when we were a creditor nation versus a debtor nation. Seeing $31 trillion over the top of our shoulders as a nation is...
And I remember in the Old Testament reading where God said that his plan for the Israelites is that they would be the head, not the tail, that they wouldn't be the borrowers, but they would be the lenders to many nations.
I remember reading that.
That's right.
That was with God's blessing.
So there's always hope, right? There's always hope to get out of the debt.
That's right. So... that's the conclusion of the debt disaster. I think we all know that we have a big problem in our country and around the world, and God wants us to take those baby steps and to get out of debt and then stay out of debt as much as we can. So we have our resource, Lord Help, I'm in Debt, available from White Horse Media. We also are making available this little book, Counsels on Stewardship, that talks a lot about financial principles. We have another resource, a website called growyourmoneywithgod.com. That is loaded with information. We're here to help you. We hope that these programs are a blessing to you and that you'll make a decision to live financially responsible and to stay out of debt.
We hope you enjoyed this video. Before you go, check out these wonderful books for sharing. The Truth About the Sabbath is packed with information for anyone wanting to understand the Sabbath subject. Also, The 666 Beast Identified. What it means to you identifies both the beast and his strange number 666. What do the beast and his number have to do with you? Both are available in paperback and ebook versions from White Horse Media.
We hope you've been blessed by this White Horse Media production. To support White Horse Media, please call us at 1-800-78-BIBLE. That's 1-800-782-4253. You may also send your donations by mail to White Horse Media, P.O. Box 130, Priest River, Idaho, 83856, or donate online at whitehorsemedia.com.
And now for some breaking news. White Horse Media has just launched its new free online Bible school, Thunder in the Holy Land, filmed in Israel to help you and others discover the true teachings of God's Word. To learn more, visit whitehorsemediabibleschool.com. You'll be glad you did.